now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. A little girl was intently drawing a sketch on a piece of paper when her mother asked her, "What are you drawing?" And the little girl replied, "God." The mother quickly said, "But no one knows what God looks like." To which the girl replied, "They will now." The New Testament teaches us continuously that Jesus Christ shows us what God looks like. St. John writes in the prologue of his gospel, "No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath made him known." Later on, Jesus himself will say things such as, "The Father and I are one." And later on, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." St. Paul also says something very similar when he writes that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Nowhere is this truth more evident than in our gospel lesson today. I would propose that in this miracle, Jesus reveals two truths in particular about God: his compassion and his power. St. Luke describes the scene saying that Jesus entered a city called Nain at the very moment of a funeral procession. A poor widow was following the corpse of her only son. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." And then he raised her son from the dead. It is remarkable that this miracle was performed for an insignificant person in an insignificant place. The woman is so insignificant, humanly speaking, that her name is not even known. She is simply described as a widow. The city of Nain is also insignificant. This is the only place in the Bible where it is even mentioned. We're not even sure where it is today. There is an obscure small town with a similar spelling in Galilee. But the point is that Jesus performed this miracle for a seemingly insignificant widow in a seemingly insignificant place. This teaches us that with God, there is no such thing as an insignificant person and no such thing as an insignificant place. History books tend to record the events of the most important people who ever lived, and yet in the gospel accounts of our Lord's ministry, we frequently see his acts of love and compassion for the least and the last. Furthermore, this act of our Lord vividly reveals the compassion of God, which is taught frequently in the Old Testament regarding widows and orphans. Over and over again, particularly in the book of Deuteronomy, we're told that God cares for the fatherless and the widow. When the Israelites gleaned their fields, God told them to leave the edges of the fields for the widows and fatherless to glean. The psalmist said, "The Lord relieves the fatherless and widow." Here in this miracle, Jesus demonstrates this truth in living color. But not only does this miracle reveal to us the compassion of God, it also reveals to us the power of God. After telling the woman not to weep, St. Luke tells us that Jesus came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. I'm sure they were shocked. Nobody did this. Jesus then said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And Luke then adds, "So he who was dead sat up and began to speak." I love that phrase. "And he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, 'A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people.' And this report about him went throughout all Judea and the surrounding region." I guess so. Now, whether those who said this realized it or not, no truer words have ever been spoken than, God has visited his people. For standing before them is not merely a prophet of God, but God himself. This is the first of three resurrections which Jesus performed during his ministry, demonstrating his power over death. Imagine what the crowd must have thought when Jesus walked up and began to speak to a dead man. You know, sometimes we're so familiar with these stories, we miss the audacity, if you will, of these stories. He comes up and starts talking to a dead man. Whatever their thoughts, I'm guessing that they changed their tune once he who was dead actually sat up and began to speak. When Jesus touches that bier, death was overwhelmed with life. The word of life triumphs over the kingdom of death. He is, after all, the resurrection and the life. But just seconds before this, Jesus had told this widow, "Weep not." It almost sounds cruel. How can you tell a widow who has lost her only son not to weep? But in the blink of an eye, he touched the open casket, and that woman's son was raised to life. Perhaps we should see a bit more in this statement which he makes to the widow, "Weep not." Jesus tells her to weep not because he is the very one who will one day wipe the tear from every eye. St. John tells us in the Revelation that when the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven on the last day, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Long in advance of the last day, our Lord gives us a glimpse of this truth in this miracle. God wipes away the tears of a lowly widow who had lost her only son. These truths should gladden our hearts. At some point in our lives, every one of us will experience death and sorrow. But we know that God is compassionate toward those who mourn. And furthermore, we know that he has the power to bring life out of death. We know this because Jesus is the image of the invisible God. What he did for this widow that day will also be done for each of us one day. He has promised to bring life out of death, to wipe every tear from every eye. This should instill in us a strong sense of hope. No matter what difficulties and tragedies that we face in life, if we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be assured that he will have compassion on us, and ultimately he will powerfully raise us from the dead. May God kindle our hearts to cling to these truths and to give us hope in the days to come. Amen. Now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."